Before we begin Murder Monday today, we say it all the time, but want to give you a little special warning right now. Listener discretion is advised. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again. Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
But again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
I think all of us kind of have an inherent belief that doctors are trustworthy. It's people that we, you know, believe in. That's what they want, you know, the best for their patients, right? Well, not in Philadelphia. For over 30 years, one doctor went unnoticed as he murdered and tortured not only his patients, but also their children. Every Monday at this time, we do a segment called Murder Monday. Now, while you're gripped with tales of true horror, remember that currently there are murders going unsolved in our own backyard here in Indy. That's why it's important to memorize this number here. Write it down. This is the phone number for Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana, where you can give tips on crime completely anonymously. That number to call is 317-262-TIPS. That's 317-262-TIPS. You can help serve justice today right here in Indianapolis. All right, Alex, let's hear about today's Murder Monday.
We're talking about Kermit Gosnell, America's most prolific serial killer, an abortion doctor who used his practice to hide in plain sight as a sick and twisted serial killer. This isn't a pro-life or a pro-choice story. It's just the story of an abortion doctor who happened to slip through the cracks of the state of Pennsylvania and who shocked the country with his brutal and inhumane treatment of patients and the full-term babies they gave birth to.
And they finally called my name. And I went upstairs. And I remember just walking through and looking, and I seen some women that looked half dead. And these bloody recliner chairs, there was blood all over the floor. And I just kept going.
So how did we get to that point? In February of 1941, Kermit Gosnell is born. He's the only son born to his African-American parents living in Philadelphia. In 1966, Gosnell completes medical school and decides to open up a halfway house in the poverty-ridden Mantua neighborhood of West Philadelphia near where he grew up. He's very vocal about abortion rights, and in 1972, he opens an abortion clinic in that same neighborhood. And Gosnell starts to make a name for himself in the abortion world. He does 15 televised second trimester abortions using an experimental method. After the procedure, 9 of the women that Gosnell works on report severe complications. And what happened that day has come to be known as the Mother's Day Massacre. That same year, The Inquirer, which is a magazine, describes Gosnell as a respected man in the community. Gosnell has 6 children of his own between 3 marriages that he's had over the years, and none of his kids have any idea of what their dad is really doing inside the walls of his clinic. Gosnell preyed on the poor, minority, and immigrant women, convincing them that due to their circumstances, they shouldn't go through with their pregnancies, that they wouldn't be able to care for their children, even if they were almost at or completely full term. He even refused to let several women leave who changed their minds once inside, pinning and strapping them down and knocking them out with large amounts of Oxycontin and other drugs. He charged them between $1,600 and $3,000 for each late-term abortion that he performed. Soon, the complaints started to roll in. In 1989 and 1993, the Philadelphia Department of Health cited Gosnell for having absolutely no trained nurses in the recovery room for patients.
Oh, wow.
When Gosnell finally did hire help, they were completely unlicensed. That same year, the former head of the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia hand delivers a letter of complaints about the disturbing things going on at Gosnell's clinic to the Secretary of Health's office and got nothing but silence in return. A few years later, a girl, just 15 years old, goes to see Dr. Gosnell. She has her aunt with her, and when she sees the inside of the clinic, she gets a bad feeling. She clutches her stomach, and she changes her mind. She wants to keep her baby. Gosnell gets upset. He rips off her clothes and restrains her. He snarls and says, "This is the same care that I would give my own daughter." And the girl passes out. 12 hours later, when she wakes up at her aunt's house, she realizes the abortion was performed against her will. A woman named Samika Shaw goes to Gosnell for an abortion. She calls Gosnell's clinic the day after her procedure, and she's scared. She says she's experiencing heavy bleeding and says something is not right. Gosnell tells her it's nothing to worry about and does not ask her to come back into his clinic. Samika Shaw dies 3 days later of a perforated uterus and bloodstream infection. A year later, Gosnell starts to give children's vaccines, but is repeatedly suspended for failing to maintain logs and for storing vaccines in unsanitary and inappropriate refrigerators and at improper temperatures. One patient that year, who's 28 and 5 months pregnant, says 4 days after her abortion, she had pain so bad she could barely walk. She goes back to see Dr. Gosnell, and he performs an ultrasound. The ultrasound shows fetal remains left inside of her.
Oh,
and Gosnell starts suctioning them out without anesthesia. She says, "I was just laying on the table and crying. I just asked the Lord to get me through it." Multiple complaints are filed with the state for years and filed and filed and filed. They're going completely unanswered. And Gosnell's clinic remains unchecked despite people dying in the clinic.
That blows my mind that that's even possible, no matter what time period this was, whether it's now or 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Well, this is happening in the early 2000s. One patient files a civil lawsuit. She says that Gosnell didn't finish performing the abortion on her and then didn't call paramedics to help her. She said, "I really felt like he was going to let me die." Gosnell and his practice start to get a bad reputation, and local community organizations stop recommending patients go to him. That's when Gosnell decides that in order to sustain his business, he's going to start performing abortions at any stage without any regard for legal limits. 46 lawsuits are filed against Gosnell over his career of 32 years. There was a complete failure by Pennsylvania regulators who had overlooked repeated concerns brought to their attention, including lack of trained staff, barbaric conditions, and a high level of illegal late-term abortions. But just how barbaric were the conditions of Gosnell's clinic? Unlike anything that investigators from the police or the FBI had ever seen. When we come back, I'll tell you exactly what was found in Kermit Gosnell's House of Horrors.
Alex is about to tell you even more details about the horror house of an abortion clinic that Kermit Gosnell was running on the west side of Philadelphia for over 30 years.
And you can see photos of him, his clinic, the inside of his clinic on Instagram at Joan Alex Show. Not every photo, because some of them obviously are just too graphic to post on Instagram, but the ones that I could post are posted at Joan Alex Show. Suspicion was rising fast in West Philadelphia against local abortion doctor Kermit Gosnell. A patient by the name of Karnamaya Monger, who was a 41-year-old refugee, was the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, when it came to exposing Gosnell's House of Horrors. Karnamaya Monger, weighing only 90 pounds, walks into Dr. Gosnell's clinic. The untrained staff at the clinic, one of whom was a local high school student.
What are you doing after school today? Oh, I'm working here. Like, oh, I'm going to the abortion clinic.
Yeah, and administering medications and all that kind of stuff. She gives Karnamaya a lethal dose of anesthesia and painkillers during her abortion. A toxicologist later revealed that the dose given to her was so outrageous that most average adults would have stopped breathing if they were given that much, let alone a 90-pound woman. Word got out about Karnamaya's death, and the FBI suited up, preparing to enter Gosnell's clinic. As investigators walked inside, they couldn't believe what they were seeing and even smelling. The conditions were unbelievably unsanitary. Blood-soaked recliners and blankets were in the waiting room where patients were sitting. A flea-infested cat wandered around the facility, going to the bathroom wherever it pleased, the smell of which filled the air. Semi-conscious women moaned in the waiting room and the recovery room where they had been sedated by unlicensed staff. They were sedating women and working on them without Gosnell even being there. The staff had no idea how much medications they were giving to the patients or even what medications they had been giving to the patients.
How can these people also be there? Besides him, he's crazy, obviously, but how can all these other people be there too doing that? Like, I couldn't go to a hospital like, "I'm going to give you your medicine. Don't worry. I don't know what I'm doing, but I think I would be scared to hurt them."
There's so much to this story that is so disturbing that I don't even have time to go into, but I'll tell you a little bit more here. So the medications that they were giving out were not only expired, they were kept in filthy conditions. The operating and exam rooms looked worse than a gas station restroom. Instruments were not sterile. Equipment was rusty and outdated.
Oh.
The same corroded suction tubing used for abortions was the only tubing available for oral airwaves if assistance for breathing was needed. non-sterilized equipment was being used in abortion procedures and reused on other patients without being cleaned. Some patients reported that tools with blood still on them from someone else was used on them. You're probably wondering why someone would stay and allow a doctor to perform a procedure on them in these conditions. Remember, many of Gosnell's patients didn't speak English, or they were so poor or uneducated that not only did they not realize that there were other places that were safe that they could go for medical help or assistance, they were also easily persuaded by a man in power from their own community who either talked them into believing him or refused to let them leave. Fetal remains were stored throughout the clinic in milk, orange juice cartons, and bags.
What?
Around 20% of the fetal remains in the clinic were older than 24 weeks, which is the legal limit for abortions. There was a row of jars on a shelf that housed the feet of the murdered babies.
Oh my God.
Medical waste was piled high in the basement and all around the clinic. And the saddest thing of all was that the intact 19-week-old baby of Carnamaya Monger from just 3 months earlier was found in a freezer. 45 fetuses were found, and at least three had been viable. Gosnell was arrested on January 19th, 2011, 5 days after a grand jury's report. He was charged with 8 counts of murder and sentenced to 3 life terms in prison. Prosecutors alleged that he killed 7 babies born alive by severing their spinal cords with scissors. They found that he was also responsible for the death in 2009 of Carnamaya Monger, who died in his care. His wife, Pearl, and 8 other suspects were also arrested in connection with the case. The workers that were there and those people that you were asking about.
Yeah.
The DEA and the FBI sought a 23-count indictment charging Gosnell and 7 members of his former staff with drug conspiracy relating to the practices illegally prescribing highly addictive painkillers and sedatives outside the usual course of professional practice and not for a legitimate medical purpose. His staff have testified that they saw babies move or cry after complete birth in his care. This explicitly went against the Born Alive law, which says that if a baby is born alive and then it is killed, it constitutes as murder. It was standard procedure at the clinic to ignore this law, and as a result, more than 100 babies had their spinal cords snipped. The grand jury report states that a medical expert with 43 years of experience in performing abortions was even appalled. Gosnell and his lawyer, if you're wondering what his side of the story is, say that Gosnell is the victim of a public lynching and that his case is a targeted, elitist, and racist prosecution of a doctor who's done nothing but give back to the poor and the people of West Philadelphia. Now, I'm not sure how killing most of your own community constitutes as giving back, but he's clearly a sick and twisted and deranged man. In 2011, it was reported that none of Pennsylvania's 22 abortion clinics had been inspected by the government for more than 15 years. Inspections, other than those triggered by complaints, had ceased because activists strongly felt that inspections created a barrier to women seeking abortion services. There's so much more to this story that was found during the investigation that we don't have time to get into on this show, but the movie Gosnell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer comes out this Friday in select theaters. Several in India are going to be showing the movie. It's a movie based totally on this true story that I just told you, and it's not a documentary. It's actually a movie. I highly recommend that you go see it and tell your friends. I'm going to post about it on Instagram in which theaters. I know.
I can't imagine seeing the movie after hearing This Murder Monday, Alex.
Well, Dean Cain's in it. It looks excellent. I'm excited to go see it.
I'm shook this morning.
I know. This is a rough one.
This is the roughest Murder Monday I've ever heard.
Really?
For me, it just, yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely devastating. I'm going to post on Instagram on our story which theaters in Indy are going to be showing the movie this Friday, so you can check that out at Joe and Alex Show. And I will post it in our blog for Murder Monday on RadioNowIndy.com. If you want to hear other Murder Mondays that we've done before that you may have missed, search for the Joe and Alex Show podcast in your podcast app.